Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. As we were just going through the hats that you're going to have to wear, if there's nobody right now, that if there's no Constitution Party, there's no National Liberty Alliance, and there's no real, you know, unifying organization, because there really isn't any, then you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to be the unifier. Are you up to that? You need to find somebody that is. If you're not, because if somebody's not leading and unifying your county, you're just going to live in the status quo, and you might as well just be comfortable with the fact that you will be a martyr, that you're probably just, that's how it's going to go. And I'm hoping that you're not comfortable with that fact. As you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence as well as the academic evidence-based solutions. That's why we go through and read these documents. Never do I tell you to take my word for it. We go through Madison's words. We go through Jefferson's words. We go through all of the different framers of the ratification debates. Actually, I do give you highlights, but the last time we went through the ratification debate started with March 29th. I think we went to May 27th. It's 2 months. There were a lot. George Mason, Pendleton. I mean, there were lots of men besides Madison, Iredell, Nicholas, Wilson, McKean or whatever in Pennsylvania, Hamilton. I covered even Hamilton. Pointed out how Hamilton was hope pulling his punches. I mean, he was being consistent with everybody else, but he was not. Hamilton had the ability to be ruthless. He was a ruthless man when it came down to debating an argument. I mean, he never pulled his punches when he went after Madison and Jefferson, you know, on trying to, you know, when all of a sudden the Constitution was ratified, Hamilton really went on the attack in trying to create implied powers and getting the federal government to assume, like the Assumption Act, assuming things that were not within the Constitution. So he was obviously one not worthy of the trust. Anywho, Timber Nation, if you are looking for, you know, improving, changing out your entertainments, go check out timbernation.com and look at what these artisans do, because they do put the wood together. They've come up with these designs. Actually, the Absolute Sound, if you're an audiophile, the Absolute Sound gave them kudos and recognition. And so what we want to do, I'm just telling you, Absolute Sound only talked about probably they're not talking about, one, the type of business they are, that these are patriots, and two, they're not talking about, you know, the quality of the product. Maybe they did a little bit, but the ability to create custom stuff, I mean, the flexibility in working with people. Anyway, I have nothing but the best things to say about Timber Nation. Radio Dust Covers. I can tell you, Stan Clement, he is very conscientious of the work he does. He does great work. If you're looking, go to RadioDustCovers.com. That's RadioDustCovers, plural, .com. Check them out. And if you've got audio equipment, you have, you know, walkie, ham radio, that type of thing, then you would probably want to get. You may even want to get a printer cover. If you've got a printer, why not protect it from the dust? Because, you know, most of these printers will last. They're capable. They're kind of like a light bulb. Most printers actually outlast their feasibility because, you know, people just decide, oh, I want color, I want to improve that. But if you have a high-quality printer and it's a good quality black and white, like a business type of printer, that thing will last you probably the rest of your life while you're printing if you take good care of it and if you use the right parts and so forth. So my point is, check it out, and you may want to order. He has three different tiers of pricing. There's the Elite, and I forget what the middle range is. And anyway, so check it out. Red Pill Expo coming up. I still need to get something done with that. Got to get it done. And we're going to be talking soon, between now and Constitution Day, which is Friday next week. We will be talking about the Patriots being targeted in a marketing show, if not a few marketing shows, to kind of cover that between now and then. We also kind of covered, something I haven't covered is the comment line, 425-270-5416. And Harry, I hope you're listening. I hope you're actually starting to learn something here. But one of the things we did cover is we kind of covered the hats. And I started really making some emphasis on petition managers and getting people basically trained, recruited to become petition managers. Give them what they need to know regarding the First Amendment petition and enough to know regarding the Constitution that we have a right to petition them and call them out for violating our Constitution. That's what we do. We don't protest. We're a civil society, and that's how we approach that type of behavior from our public servants, from our government, and so forth. Remember, we're the ones that actually, instilled by foreordaining these constitutions. We foreordain powers within those constitutions so that they will behave based on the power we've given them. See, the problem is your state governor believes that he's got the power that he can actually suspend your constitutional rights, and he can do whatever he thinks is necessary. And I'm here to tell you, he doesn't have that power, friends. He cannot do that, my friends. The only thing he can do is he can protect. He has the power to protect you from being harmed. In other words, if there are people that are sick, he has the power to actually, tell them to self-quarantine or be able to, put them in a facility and give them the treatment that they need. Now, there may come a cost to that. I think that in some states and places, he may not be able to do that or charge for that. In other words, the state may have to pay for that. But regardless, he cannot go out and carte blanche take away your ability to assemble, your ability to engage in commerce, your ability to assemble peacefully as a people, your ability to petition, and your ability for religious expression, speech, so forth and so on. And these governors need to be taught and told, as clearly as possible. They need to be taught and told that we will not and do not tolerate this kind of crap. Anyway, so what we want you to do, and what I want to start now getting you this information, is you start growing throughout the county this petition manager, and then you start bringing the petition manager involved in the events, and then you want to expose them to this big event that we want to become an inclusive unifier of the county. What we want to do is create this thing called, and as a matter of fact, you don't have to function officially as the Constitution Party to not support the Constitution Party. And, there may be, as you're, getting your legs, as I call it, sea legs in the previous episode, there may be a good motive in not necessarily creating and formalizing the organization until the organization has form enough to where it's growing enough to where you can say, we need to create our own Constitution Party because there's not one in this. And then you'll look, if the state has a Constitution Party, I'm going to tell you right now, if you and your county members all of a sudden join the Constitution Party, they will be overran. Because I'm saying, if a county comes along and most of the average count or states don't even have 100, there are some states that have quite a few, that are maybe emailers or what have you, but they have more than 100 active people. Idaho might be one, but they're not a part of the National Constitution Party. And that's another thing. The Constitution Party itself has to get unified. These people that want to call themselves Constitution Party, but they're not a part of the National Party, I think they're trying to split hairs. You can't have a, you know, you can't butter your bread on both sides. You can, but you're going to make a mess and you're creating problems. So it's best to actually, you know, create this organization without necessarily formalizing the Constitution Party. But when you're finally ready to formalize the Constitution Party, then the first thing you need to do is you need to create your own bylaws and you need to create your own platform for the county. And you can actually lead when you basically come into the Constitution Party and say, we created our bylaws, here's our platform, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's a great way to actually kind of put the state on notice that you are being more than just, you know, a party. You're not being a laissez-faire party. You are actually embracing the concept of full compliance to the Constitution for all levels of government. And if your state is there, then that would be great. They'll bring you right in and they'll hug you and love you. But if the state isn't there, they may have, you know, the old paradigm of the standard party configuration. And I'll get my hands on maybe some state bylaws and so forth, and we'll talk about this. Not today, but we'll talk about this between now and the Constitution Day. But when we come back, I want to get into some of these other roles you need to expand.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I think I've made the case that to grow your constitutional county, or to basically move people to create a true constitutional county, I believe the petition manager is the first part. And I say that because this is something that we the people have to engage in. Now, let me go beyond this. That there is another tool called common law grand juries. But common law grand juries does not happen. And as a matter of fact, you have a much higher hill to climb in getting individual people to getting on board with
common law grand jury, because there's a lot that they have to understand first before they really understand its meaning and intent. And because most of society has become secular, the secular folks are probably more likely to reject that concept of common law grand jury. This is why you really have to have your ducks in a row to be able to start teaching them that common law is the law of the land. This is, goes beyond the Constitution. So I'm just trying to put it in perspective with the National Liberty Alliance and some of the legal stuff that they're pushing and they're advocates for. Well, some of these things, you know, are kind of outside the typical environment or outside the paradigm of the average patriot. So with that, we have to start, you know, branching into, and this is where I kind of move away from the five. I think I've gone through the five, you know, hats that you wear with detail enough. I believe that now we need to start looking at your organization as a two-sided organization, okay? You have what we call an administrative side of the organization, and then there is this operations side of the organization. Now, technically, the one thing in the operations that you're doing is petition manager. The petition manager is actually an operational thing. It's where you actually go out, you shoot at the enemy, and then, you know, over some period of time, you know, you start getting results back. You actually start having the opportunity of winning more and getting more attention, and those types of things work. Excuse me, I had to take something to drink there. Got to keep the old tongue lubricated. So sorry about that. Anyway, in looking at the other legal operations, there's jury administration, there's equity, common law, grand jury, petite jury, and court documents, filings, and paralegal stuff. There's also, in the operations side, where, you know, people are actually doing things, they're out spending time and actually doing, I'll call it work, exerting energy to getting things done, would be the Community Watch Center or the, you know, the Community Watch. So as you start organizing your county, you'll realize you've got some representation in some of these communities. Well, you need to get people involved in becoming a Community Watch Manager for your central area. You have a central manager, but you're going to have local people that will fall underneath that. And then there are other types of, you know, roles that fall underneath that. So this is where your community watch center or manager will actually start, you know, keeping an eye on developments. You'll actually, you know, start teaching your people throughout the county to look for this. You know, like a big tip off if all of a sudden you see a whole bunch of tanks on trains going by and, you know, in the direction they're going, you don't, and there's no military base over there. Then you go, well, why are they staging tanks or sending them in that direction? Now, you got to remember that your county, you may see them. A good example, I saw a Facebook post regarding tanks being seen moving from east to west. In other words, they were heading towards Seattle. Well, there's an army base over there called Fort Lewis. So maybe Fort Lewis is getting retrofitted. Okay, so that wouldn't be a big tip-off. But let's say they were going south to north and they were heading north towards, you know, let's just say Missoula or something like that. That's where the train line or closer to the Canadian border. And there's just no military base up there in that direction. Then that would be an indication. That would be something that would be, you know, the indication that something's developing. So you have people that are kind of the developments and those types of things are things that you kind of watch for, that everybody kind of reports what they're seeing. But we want to also identify that these community watch centers can be drilled down into another thing called a development. Now, in some of the, you know, California states, or actually most people now, I think, use the term development.
in the old towns, if you live in the New York where, you know, they don't have developments, they have boroughs. And so they have these, you know, or small towns, small communities, right? Small cities, small towns or communities that are just like a general store, post office, gas station all in one. You know, I remember Hobart, Washington was just that. It was a small town, and that's where your that would be your community watch center. But you have breaking these things down as what are the sub elements in the watch center. You have that, and then you want to have people become attuned to when they're out there serving on watch, right? How many, you know, when do you have people eyes on? And I'm not talking about Trayvon Martin and what was his name, George. Anyway, you know, the guy that was doing a community watch with a gun. I'm not talking about initiating that. Nine times out of ten, if hopefully you don't have, you're not living in that community. There are people that might be living in that community, and you need to do a neighborly watch or, and that type of thing. And you maybe are doing that. Well, if you're doing that, then why aren't you getting involved in this concept called an unorganized militia? Because you're already doing a part of the function that an unorganized militia would be doing. The organized militia, those guys are, you know, they're the, I'll just say, the trigger pullers. They're the guys that will actually go and fight and so forth. But we all have to contribute. They have to provide for their family as well. Everybody has the same responsibility, and every household has the same obligations, right? I mean, if you're going to be in the organized militia where you're going to be called up to, you know, support the suppression of an insurrection, well, you probably don't have time to do some of these other things. So we need other people to do those things. This is where the unorganized militia is formed. That actually helps feed, because over time you may get people that get involved in the organized militia or the unorganized militia. They want to go into the organized militia, but they can't. Why? Because they already have too many people based on the apportionment. Remember, the organized militia is apportioned based on the county and its needs. Not everybody can, you know, be, you know, in recon. Not everybody can be a SEAL. Not everybody can be, you know, a ranger. You know, they need other people to fill these other positions in the unorganized side. Don't get disheartened. Everybody get a chance. And as a matter of fact, if you talk to the commanders, nine times out of ten, they'll say, okay, we can figure out how to get you in. But this is, and I'm actually talking about, you know, a full constitutional county. Nine times out of ten, if you start forming now, people that want to get into the active militia because you don't have a formal organized militia within the county because the sheriff hasn't done it yet, there's likely a good opportunity for them to actually function in that. But the fact is that the only reason and the only way we're going to get a fully functioning militia and unorganized militia is for the unorganized militia to get these things done. So the legal operations has to start working, because they need to start filing and start challenging some of the things that are going on, like the party. The party, and it's absconding on the committeeman. What is the committeeman? You need to understand your county committeeman. Your county committeeman is the representatives of the people of the county. Well, right now, we're a black and white nation because the Republican and Democratic Party own everything. And the Democrats and the Republicans send their own committeemen to the state. And, you know, if you're coming from a Republican county, then it's typically the Republican committeemen. Well, hold on here. The committeeman is actually supposed to be representing the state. Technically, your senator or the county, your senator should be representing the county, and the committeeman should actually be interfacing with that senator. When you start digging up this idea of a county committeeman, you'll start realizing that we've lost that voice with government because most people aren't engaged in the Republican Party. You want to understand why there's why the swamp gets down to your county is because the party is taking control of it. The party is the problem. When I say the uniparty is the problem, or the Republicans and or the Democrats. I am not referring to the Constitution. They're an outlier. They're not a part of the problem in this, in the, I don't want to call it displacing, but the integrating of the swamp to the lowest levels of government. You have to start looking at how the party is actually, they've worked together to maintain these types of controls. Now, the Democrats, they want all control. They want to basically seize control, get rid of all of this. But the legitimacy of the county committeemen is a very real legitimacy, because it is within the framework of our government that we have these lines of communication for your county commissioners, county supervisors. They work with the county committeemen to actually go and work with the party at the national level. At the state level. We'll be right back after this. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so I actually have a note here, because there was something I wanted to go through, and I said I was going to go through this a while back, and I still haven't gotten there. And I keep on seeing this, and I go, oh, I got to get there. What I want to do is I want to get through all of this type of stuff so that we can actually start talking about what I wanted to say regarding slave masters in public service and how they've kind of taken on that role and Mason's view, but we'll get there. One of the things that we really need to keep in mind as we're going into break, as I was talking about this committeeman, currently, county committeemen primarily work with the party. They get exposed to the powers that be. They get exposed to the politicians, our public servants, our legislative district servants, and the senators that serve the legislative district as well. What they should be doing is they should be actually focused on the county and our county representation. But because the state has smeared that, then what we have is we have an unfair advantage for the counties, where the counties should have at least one representative each. At least, you know, one representative and one senator at a minimum. And the other counties, if you have, you know, more based on your population and so forth, you apportion it the way, you know, at least every county has one person that they have full unattested access to. It is wrong to have nine counties fight the access for that one legislator. And who's that legislator going to think of? And nine times out of ten, that legislator's coming from the most populated county. And so, in most cases, that's the case. Now, when we start looking at the county committeemen, well, again, most of their work is primarily with the party. Their responsibility is to interface with government, with those representatives. So when you start doing the due diligence, then I believe you'll start realizing that working with the NLA will give you the paperwork to start going after the parties and the county for not allowing. And it, so one of the things you need to do is you need to actually put a county committeeman on the ballot so that that person is actually running, because that's a paid position, if I remember correctly. But you can learn all of these types of things in getting your county to be more aligned with the Constitution, creating a constitutional county. So as I kind of lay this out here, one of the things you probably should have popped up in your mind is that the Uniparty is going to view this as a hostile intent. And they should, because they've had a run and they've had control, and anybody that tries to take away control is considered hostile, right? Okay, so I'm absolutely okay with that. We need to keep pushing and pushing. And basically, the faster we can dismantle the party, the Republican and Democratic Party, the better off we are. And so in the states, we will do that. What will end up happening, I've said this before, when you've got a state that is in full support of the Constitution and you've got the Republican Party doing that, all of a sudden, I believe, when we have enough states that have shifted away from the Republican Party agenda, because the Democrats, you'll never get them to shift towards the Constitution. It just won't happen. And I hate to sound, you know, so biased, but that, their goal is to dismantle it. I mean, they're very clear. That's why they are the Communist Party. So anyway, the Republicans, though, as states start waking up, saying, you know, we can save the Republican Party. We can do this. As states really go down that path, and I guess it's important that they do. It would be better that they just abandon the party, because if they're honest with themselves, they'll realize that there's no way in heck they will ever, ever, ever be able to move the national party towards the Constitution. The RNC is a part of the globalist and is under globalist control, just like the DNC. And as you look at and as you learning, you know, if you ever listen to Trevor Laudan and so forth, you'll realize that the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated both parties. And they're working, whether it be directly or indirectly, they are working with both parties. So what I hope that you start doing is you start kind of understanding, you know, the bigger picture here and why the National Liberty Alliance is going to be critical in helping going after the parties themselves to get back that representation to the county. You know, counties used to not have commissioners. It had a board of supervisors, and every town, you know, had some representation, but it was not a paid position. We decided to going down the mercenary track that that's a better way, that we just pay people to kind of do that job, because people just said, yeah, you know, my life is getting too busy. I don't want to do all of this stuff. Well, folks, that has been the problem. That's another reason why we are the problem, because we're not willing to do all of the little things that's got to get done. You know, if you're going to constantly hire, you know, these, you know, sex offenders for your babysitters or whatever. I mean, you have no idea what you're doing when you actually start opening yourself up to allowing other people, supposedly professionals, to do the job for you. Right? I mean, come on. We're smarter than that. We don't have to fall for those trappings. It's like spending somebody else's money. I've yet to meet a person that is so conscientious of how they spend somebody else's money. When they go out to lunch, Milton Friedman talked about the four ways of spending money: your own money, somebody else's money, somebody else's money. In other words, somebody's giving it to you, but it's really not even theirs to give to you. They're just giving you the money. And so he has these four different scenarios. And it always comes down to the fact that the person that's spending their own money has it takes the due diligence. They don't go out and buy steak and lobster for lunch. You know, they'll just have a club sandwich and some chips and soda. I mean, they will, you know, spend what their budget will allow them to spend. But when you're spending somebody else's money, boy, the sky's the limit. And it's wrong to do that. So anyway, let me get back into, you know, why the petitions are so important. Again, not only are they going to help grow the organization, but the petitions are what we're going to use as a weapon in multiple ways. We're going to use them as a weapon against those who are in government, as well as an educational tool. So as we submit and as we start, you know, rallying signatures. One, it's educating people, and we're now attacking the person who has violated their oath of office. Okay, so first application of that one petition becomes a weapon. Then later on, we got a beautiful thing called the election cycle. In 2022, if you get a few petitions out to your county commissioners, it's constitutional petitions for the redress of grievances, and they do nothing, they ignore you, then next election run, you make sure that you have somebody at every campaign meeting when they're having these debates with all of the other candidates and say, why should we re-elect you when you failed to listen to our petitions? You rejected us. You marginalized the Constitution when we had a constitutional right for redress of grievances, and you denied that. And as a matter of fact, you owe us our tax money back. This is how then you're doing two things again. You're educating everybody in the room regarding this thing called the First Amendment petition and what it is, what it does. And two, you're actually attacking the person that is turning their back on the Constitution. So now you've reapplied that weapon in a second fold. Or actually, it becomes a repetitive weapon that you hack at them and hack at them and hack at them at every meeting. And you identify each of these weapons that they ignored the first time. So why would we even want to vote for you? More importantly, you want to make sure that you have a good candidate challenging them. Hopefully, I'm okay if it's you. I'm absolutely okay if it's you. But sometimes we're not the best. I've been asked, hey, you need to run, you need to run, you need to run. You know what? No way. I know if I became involved in politics when I retired, and instead of taking Republic Review out to the streets and getting this is the only solution, my friends. I'm sorry. You know, some people don't like that. They don't see it so ultimately or so black and whitish. But it is. If you can prove me wrong, then I will stop saying it. But it is. And it is not just because I say it. It's because Madison says it. And I have that much regard for that man. More so than Jefferson. More so than any other framer. Because he knew. He understood the Constitution in and out. And he was the most ardent in living a political career in trying to do everything he could to support the Constitution by educating people and so forth. So anyway, what we need to do is we need to get people that are at least educated and understand and willing to step down if they are unable to support the Constitution, because if not, we're coming after them. But the other thing is, you look at it this way. What we need now is somebody to be able to go into the state legislature and possibly work for the next 2-3 years. However long it takes to getting all the states on board with Republic Review and then going through the entire process, because we have to be tenacious. And I want our state legislatures to convene in session
without recess until the federal government is in full compliance. We are in no greater emergency than what they're doing to destroy this constitutional republic. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so now we go into, let's talk a little bit about this first petition. This first petition is a petition that actually requires you going to your county commissioners or supervisors, to your county level government, and demand that they remove Inslee. So this is pointing to your county to say you need to remove Inslee because, or your governor, because he has violated our constitutional rights. And this petition spells all this out. And so this needs to, and the reason we're doing this is because this is the tip of the spear, because all the other petitions that we're going to do have everything to do with our constitutional rights. So if your county commissioners then actually take this petition and they take it to the state legislators, which is what they should do, then the state legislators, what they should do is they need to go throughout the state legislators and go, hey, look, we've been petitioned. We've got a constitutional petition that we need to remove Inslee. We need to act upon this and get the state legislators to act. So you can also go to your county sheriff. He's a duly elected representative of the people to enforce the Constitution. He, too, should probably do this. So you can use these petitions to actually go. It's the same petition. You can go to these your coroner. Your coroner is a countywide elected representative. They may only take care of the dead or what have you, but they're still an elected body. And it's a countywide election seat. So they represent the entire county. So what would it look like if you had your commissioners, your coroner, and your sheriff, and any other county-wide elected official, all convening upon that county legislator, say, here is a petition to remove the governor. He's violated his oath of office by violating our rights. Get rid of him. And so what they have to do is they have to pursue getting rid of him, and or they have to give you a constitutional reason why he, because there's this secret amendment that the federal government has never shared that they've all admitted to, you know, signing and ratifying, but they didn't tell the people. Huh? Well, fat chance that that's happened, but you never know. The reality is that we're now pinning them down. And then those who are reluctant to think that they can ignore this petition, then you actually petition them or the county commissioners, the sheriff, or your state legislators to remove your county commissioners. You start identifying that they're violating your right. They can't ignore a First Amendment petition. They can't make a law that says they can't do anything or that they can ignore it or they, just put it aside. They, by the Constitution, you have a right to petition them and they are obligated to respond. So if they don't respond, then you call them out for that. Now you've got all the weapons you need to actually go after these county commissioners and getting them replaced. Because now you can actually give them such bad press because, there's nothing worse than a representative of the people that doesn't listen to the people and doesn't do the will of the people. And so the more signatures, there's no timeline on this. See, with ballot measures, you have to go and collect ballot measures within a certain amount of time. You have to have a certain amount of signatures. You can keep on doing this and doing this and doing this because this is a First Amendment petition. There are no rules that they can make that abridge your right of doing this and how you choose to do it. You could actually submit a petition that's written on a napkin, and it doesn't have to be formally written, whereas, therefore. You don't have to do it that way. But that's how we do it because that's the formal, people understand the formality behind this. But the framers, they can't make a rule that says, oh, well, your format is wrong, so we don't listen to your petition. Are you kidding? They knew that they had illiterate people. That's why petitioning wasn't just done in writing. You had a right to petition orally because you could at least come and state your argument if you couldn't write it. Well, they can't make a law that's changed that ability of how we petition. So, and they have. They've made rules so that, you only get a minute and a half or 3 minutes. No. With the First Amendment petition, they can't use any rules against you or they are directly violating your right of petition. So, anyway, I'm just trying to show you how when you start getting aggressive and bold in your county, people are going to start noticing and other people will join and you're going to find a lot of other people that are going to be emboldened just as well. And we're going to start seeing results because now all of a sudden the people of the county, because you know what? Let's say you have, because you do really good, you have 1,000. Let's say there's 200,000 people in your county and you get 1,000 people. That's a small percentage, right? Doing these petitions, going up into the election, you get 1,000 people to join your organization. Now, you've got these 1,000 people and you have a group, a small cadre, or as big of a group you possibly can to turn out to every single one. And you want to have different people. It'd be nice because if it's the same people at every campaigning event, then that candidate, that politician, is not going to call on you to ask you a question. So that's why you want to actually mix it up. You want to have other people showing up. You want to be able to, engage him every time in every venue to have him answer to in front of the people why he ignores the people. And then why we feel as the people that he deserves a vote and to be reelected. Why? There you go. Are you understanding? You seeing the strategy? Because there's a great chance that in the next election or in that election, he will be or she will be replaced because you called upon them. Right now, all these protests that are going on, there was a John Birch leader that had this huge protest to go down to the health administration to remove the mandates of masks. Well, okay, it made people feel good, but that didn't do anything. petitioning people actually does, because there's legal ramifications when you use the constitutional process of petitioning government. And you know what? There may not be any court. There may not be any sheriff right now that's going to willingly enforce that. But when you start educating people, the facts on this matter, the people are going to listen, they're going to love and embrace. There's a reason why Bob Schultz with the We the People Foundation was able to grow his organization well into beyond 100,000, you know, nationwide. And he was successful in creating the 2009 Constitutional Convention of 2009. And so, and it was a show. It wasn't really, you know, anything more. I mean, a lot of people got together. They didn't necessarily make a big impact. But that's really because Bob has not gone down this path of attacking government. He does on certain things, but not this path of getting so organized that at the local counties and all of this that you do this. Now, he actually does have a great a statewide initiative of funding and those types of things. And I'd love to have him on. He's a very busy guy, but I would love to have him on to talk about some of these things that he wants to do, because he's got good ideas and these things need to be integrated into your county and state level. You know, there's ways to get your funding, get people to actually fund just on the First Amendment petition side of your unorganized militia, so that this can actually start building the counties in other states. See, Bob's not out to necessarily, you know, put everything together. Bob is, his focus is only on the First Amendment petition, because he believes that's all you need. I disagree. I think we need everything to be done and everything to be straightened out. That the First Amendment petition is a great tool, but we also need to use the common law grand juries, as well as, there's no doubt in my mind, there's no way we'll get the federal government to ever comply with petitions and common law grand juries. It requires the states to exert their authority with republic review if we're going to get the federal government compliance. That's why, you know, Bob agrees with me that the republic review is that. And John Durash agrees with me. These guys, this isn't their first rodeo. They've been doing this for a long time, my friends. So there's merit in understanding what they're doing and what they're and how it works here. And so how we unify in working together. If there's another group out there that wants to unify because, you know, they think that they've got, there are groups, there are people that I would love to work with. I've been told that there's a branch off or this new sovereign citizens movement that is actually, you know, doing some pretty decent things. Okay, I'd love to work with them. I'd love to bring them in as a unifier, because you can't ignore the constitutionality of a First Amendment petition. You can't ignore the constitutionality of a common law grand jury. And you can't ignore the constitutionality of Madison's interposition, or what we refer to as republic review. Madison was very emphatic. This is the only way to force federal government into compliance. So, we need to start unifying. We need to start unifying a lot better, as you know. And as you know, I'm out of time. So we will be back, and we will be hopefully just wrapping up on this organizational structure. And I'll get into the slave masters, public servants type of thing. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.